We're doing the Ein Yaakov. We're up to page Pei Dalet in the standard Ein Yaakov editions, which is Daf Nune in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. We have a quote from Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the rabbi, chief rabbi of Israel, a disciple of Rabbi Yannai, the Rebbe of Reish Lakish, the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar ben Pidas, who was also chief rabbi of Israel after Rabbi Yochanan passed away. Rabbi Yochanan had 10 children, all of whom he buried. They all died in his lifetime. He saw his 10th child boiled to death before his eyes. He fell into a boiling vat. And in spite of that, Rabbi Yochanan was the great, great Rabbi Yochanan, who has such halachic weight that when Rabbi Yochanan argues with Rav, the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. Rav v'Rabbi Yochanan, halachak Rabbi Yochanan. Shmuel v'Rabbi Yochanan, halachak Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan overpowers his contemporaries, and he is the chief compiler of the Jerusalem Talmud. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Machriz Alehin Be'atzmo. There are three things that God personally declares. They don't come to the world through any angel. God declares when it's coming. Ve'iluhen, these are the three things that God personally looks over. Ra'av, famine. Visova, and starvation. And satiation. Viparnas tov, and a good leader. These are things that come from Hashem's Hashgacha directly, and we have to daven, and we have to realize that Hashem plays a hand directly. We're wondering, who's going to be president of Egypt? It's a good question. Who's going to be prime minister here? Who's going to be the Ramatkal? Well, Rav Yochanan says, when it comes to someone who's going to be in charge of a community or a congregation, Parnas Tov doesn't necessarily mean the prime minister. Parnas Tov could mean also a good rabbi, a good philanthropist. It means a good person in position of leadership. Ra'av, how do I know that God personally declares a famine to Tiv Kikrashim La'av? It says in the book of Kings that Hashem personally called the famine to come, and it's going to stay for a while. Sova Dichtiv, how do we know that satiation comes directly from God? Because the Pasuk says, V'kalti el adagan v'ilbeiti oto. God says, I will call the grains, and I will make them plenty. Parnas tov dichtiv, v'yomer Hashem el Moshe, rekrati v'shem Bezalel, a good leader. That's how we find that God says to Moshe, take a good look, that I've declared that the one who's supposed to lead the Jewish people in the building of the Mishkan is Bezalel. Young kid Bezalel, teenager. But he was the one in charge. He was a brilliant genius, and he knew how to build things. So Bezalel is the one that's in charge of building the Mishkan, and everyone has to follow his counsel. Whatever he says goes. And Hashem declares who's supposed to lead the show. That's an indication of how it really works. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, in Mamidin Parnas LaTzibur Elayim Kenim Nachim B'Tzibur. We don't appoint a leader over a congregation unless we ask the congregation first. Shneimar V'Yomer Moshe B'nei Yisrael. As the verse says, Moshe tells the Jewish people, Re'u Kara Hashem B'Shem Bezalel. Take a look. God declared He wants Bezalel to lead lead the building of the Mishkan. What's going on here? What's Moshe telling them? Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. God said to Moshe, Moshe, Hagun Alecha Bezalel? Do you think Bezalel is fit for the job? Amar le Ribono Shel Olam, so Moshe says, God, im lefanecha Hagun, lefanai lo kol sheken. If you think he's good for the job, of course I think he's good for the job. Amar lo Afal Piken, lechemo lehem leYisrael. Nonetheless, go and tell them. Don't appoint a leader against their will. Go tell them. Halach v'amar lehem leYisrael. So Moshe goes to the Jewish people and says, Hagun alechem Bezalel? Are you okay with Bezalel leading the show here? Amru loim lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lefanecha Hagun lefaneinu lo kol sheken. If you think he's good, if God thinks he's good and you think he's good, so of course we're happy with him. So this is Derech Eretz. You know it if you're a guest in someone's house and they're about to make hamotzi or kiddush. So technically it's their food. They don't need your permission. But they're going to make the blessing on the bread on behalf of everyone. So it's customary that they say birshut, to have your permission. Why? Because of this Gemara. That's what I'm about to do. I'm about to make the blessing on the bread on behalf of everyone. We're all going to eat that bread. So before I do that, I don't assume you want me to make the blessing on your behalf. I say, Birshut, I have your permission, and then I make the blessing on behalf of everyone.
Amar Rav Shmuel bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonatan, Betzalel Hashem Chochmato Nikra. Betzalel got his name because of his wisdom. How so? B'sha'a she'amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, when God said to Moshe, Lechemo lo leBetzalel, Aseh li Mishkan Aron veKelim, God said to Moshe, go tell Betzalel he should make me a Mishkan, the Aron, and all the different vessels. Alach Moshe ve'afach ve'amar lo. Moshe, when he quoted it to Betzalel, he said it the other way around. He said, Aseh Aron veKelim hu Mishkan. He said, I want you to make an Aron, I want you to make the vessels, I want you to make the building, the Mishkan. Amar le, so Betzalel said to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu, minagosh lolam adam bone bait v'achakach machnis letocho kelim. The way of the world is that ordinarily you build a house and then you buy furniture. You're telling me to build the furniture, to build the vessels, and then build the house. That's not the way things usually go. But ta omerli, you're telling me asei kelim, make the different vessels, the different furniture, aron, and only afterwards the mishkan. Kelim shani yose leichan achnisim, where will I put all the vessels I'll make? Shema kach amar lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, could it be that maybe when God said it, he said, asei mishkan aron vekelim, that you should switch the order, the mishkan should come first, and then the aron, and then the kelim? Amar le, shema betzel kel haita veyadata, were you in God's shadow? Were you standing there when God was telling me? You're right, that's what God said. So that's why he was called Betzalel, so to speak, he was in the shadow of God, that he knew what God wanted, even though he didn't hear it. It wasn't quoted to him that way. Okay, so this is the famous Medrash, that Betzalel realized what God had said, even though when Moshe said it over to him, he didn't say it in that order. Okay.
Sorry, does Moshe tell Betzalel that I see you're standing in the cell of Elohim, or is Betzalel sitting by himself?
No, Moshe said to Betzalel, were you standing in God's shadow when God said it to me? So speak, were you there in that conversation? You're right, that is what God said.
So then why didn't Moshe present it?
So everyone asks, okay. So why did Moshe switch the order? So there are different commentaries here. You want to learn some of the commentaries? We can learn. You guys, let's revert now. The first commentary, when you have a question in Agadah, the first commentary you want to see is the Marsha. Marsha was a head of a kollel, a chief rabbi. His full name was Rabbi Shmuel Eliezer, and Idlish was his mother-in-law's name. But we call him Rabbi. He took on her last name because she funded his kollel. She was like a wealthy woman. So up until Rav Kook's time, people took Rav Kook's last name when they were his sons-in-law because people sometimes took on the last name of someone big. If you were their son-in-law, so you took on that name, the last name of your father-in-law. So here too, Idlish wasn't really his name. It was his mother-in-law's name. But that's the name he took on. So the first place we look when we have a question in Agadah is the Marsha. Where should we begin? Just a second. Well, he deals with a different question. So we have commentaries around the page. My favorite is the Anaf Yosef and Eitz Yosef. But here they don't deal with this question. So we'll go over to the commentary that's just under the Marsha on the left side. You guys see the Rif. Rif over here is not the classical Rif. The Rif over here is a different rabbi. I don't remember his name. I don't remember who the commentary in the Rif is, but it's not the classical Rif. It's a commentary that that they added here. It's not the Rif you have in the Gemara. Okay. They say it's Rabbi Yoshiyahu Pinto. That's the Rif. Okay, back to the Rif. So whoever that is, Amalo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you guys see it on the bottom of the page? Emol Bitzalel Aseli Mishkan Aron VeKelim Halach Moshe. Now we're on page Peihei. VaFach. He switched the order. VeKashe. Hechafach Moshe Meshamar Kadosh Baruch Hu. How did Moshe switch around the order that God told him? God said one way. How does he switch the order? You guys have it. Top line in the Rif on page Peihei. VeOd Kashe. And further, is you have to ask. Shemeichan Lamadnu Shamar Kadosh Baruch Hu Aseli Mishkan Aron VeKelim. How do we know that God said it in that order and he switched it? Okay. So then he goes through proving that that's the order God said it, and that's the order He said it. And okay, so he's got a long answer. Just a second. I just want to get the lines that are relevant to us. Okay, so let's go over to the next page. The Hammond base, the second line, V'nirela Nyudati. So he quotes that the Midrashim seem to learn that really the Aron was done first. There was an idea that God wanted the place for the Luchos to be first. First there has to be a place for the Torah. Only afterwards you build everything else. So he says, but what about our Gemara? V'nirela Nyudati L'dat HaGemara Shesoveret Shegam B'Parshat Tumah Shuzkar Aron Tchila. Our Gemara seems to be learning that in Parshas Truma, even though the order in Parshas Truma, we just learned it, when the Torah describes what you're building, so the Torah begins with the Aron first, who's Kach Aron Tchila. Natan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Remez LeMoshe, nonetheless, God gave a hint to Moshe, Sheyeh Maseh HaMishkan Tchila, that the Mishkan should precede the Aron, V'zeh Shamar Sham, Kechol Asher Nimare Otcha, that is that God first describes Aron, vessels, and then Mishkan. So technically, that's what God said. Moshe said what God said. So how did where did Bezalel figure this out from, and where did Moshe figure it out from? Then Moshe says, well, you were in the shadow of God. So Rav Pinto says that at the conclusion of the parsha, Hashem says, "V'zeh she'amar sham, kechol asher ani mareh otcha, I want you to build it the way I'm showing you, et tavnit ha-mishkan, the picture of the mishkan, et tavnit kol kelav, and the picture of all the vessels, v'chem ta'asu, and that's how I want you to do it. Klomar, Keshem shebeshaa she'ra lo ha'tavnit, era lo kodem tavnit ha'mishkan, just as when Hashem showed him a visual image of what he's supposed to build, Hashem first showed him a visual image of the Mishkan, v'chakach tavnit kol kelav, and then the different vessels, shem aron v'ashulchan. The Torah stresses here, ken tasu, this is how I want you to arrange the doing of these things, first, lakdim ha'mishkan, and only afterwards, v'chakach aron im shara kelim. V'davar ze lo dikdek Moshe. And although God said it to Moshe, being that God spent the whole time, Parshas Truma, describing the building in the order of this vessel, that vessel, the other vessel, and finally after he finished the Aron and the Shulchan and the Menorah, you have the whole description of the Mishkan. So although God concludes and says, you saw the picture, Mishkan and vessels, that's how I want you to do it. So what was God saying, that's how I want you to do it? God was indicating the order should really be Mishkan and then vessels. But Moshe kept saying, well, what's the order God showed me? God did show me, God commanded the things in that order. V'kevan shera katu v'asu aron v'atchila, being that God did say, the first thing God said was, make me an aron. Chashav shu akodem b'maseh. He thought, okay, so then the first thing to do is an aron, because the order of commandments really is, first the vessels are commanded, then the Mishkan is commanded, then God says, okay, you remember I showed you the building, I showed you the vessels, that's how I want you to do it. But the actual commandment was make an aron, make everything else. Then Bezalel came and said, maybe God meant you should do the Mishkan first. Moshe paused, looked it over again, and said, you're right, that is what God meant. Meaning, God actually said, Vasu, I want you to make an aron. I want you to make, and now God went vessel by vessel, the way we have it in Truma. But in the end, God said a line that really switched the order. Moshe initially wasn't focused on that line. Then, when Bezalel asked him, he looked it over again. And here we see the modesty of Moshe. Moshe could have said, what do you mean? God told me, I told you, what you're asking me questions for? He didn't. He looked over the commandments and he said, actually, you're right. That's the modesty of Moshe. Chazal tells that when Moshe argues with Aaron and his children about the sacrifice that they burnt on the first day of Miluim, on the first day that they inaugurate the Mishkan, so Aaron lost two sons. And then God says, even though you lost your two sons, you should eat the sacrifices. So Aaron and the remaining two sons eat the sacrifices, except for one sacrifice they burned, the sacrifice of Rosh Chodesh. So Moshe comes in and says, what'd you guys burn it for? Nothing happened wrong with it. What'd you burn it? And he gets all upset at the kids. So Aaron tells him, God said I should eat the unique sacrifices of today that are unique for the fact that it's the inauguration day. But the sacrifice of Rosh Chodesh, that's a standard Rosh Chodesh sacrifice, and a Kohen who lost children on that day may not eat those sacrifices. Are you sure God didn't mean I should burn that? So Moshe says, you're right. And not only does Moshe say, you're right, the Midrash says that Moshe had them blow the trumpets and make a loud declaration on the loudspeakers. Everyone should know I made a mistake. The halacha is like Aaron said, he should have burnt it. Hi, that's a great person. He's not scared of saying he's wrong. What's more important to him is that everyone knows the halacha correctly. Maybe someone heard him saying, what'd you burn it for? But didn't hear the final ruling. So he had them put it out on loudspeakers. Blow the trumpets. Get everyone to know. I made a mistake and the halacha's like Aaron. So yeah, Moshe was always humble and truthful to the degree that even if a kid, Bezalel, comes and asks him a question, so Bezalel's asking the question, he stops and looks it over again. And we see this humility in his parents too. Here, Amram was the leader of the Jewish people, and he decides to divorce his wife Yocheved, because he says, all the boys are getting thrown into the Nile, what should we stay married for? Along comes his little daughter, Miriam, and says, Daddy, you're worse than Paro. Daddy, Paro at least lets there be girls in the world. You don't let boys or girls, you divorced mommy. Amram says, hey Miriam, you're right, and he remarries Yocheved. That's some humility. His little girl's telling him something, He thought one way, and he thinks it over and says, you know what, she's right. So whatever you're going to do, this is one of those Gemaras where Chazal knew what they were saying. You read the Pshat and you say, okay, you know, obviously Chazal had a message they wanted to give us here, but when you look at the Pesukim, it's a little hard to see how Chazal saw this. And that's what all the commentaries first are troubled with. Where did God say to do the Mishkan first? Because the order of the Pesukim is really the Aron and then the Mishkan. So the different commentaries come up with different verses that indicate that, and then the question is, okay, so how did Moshe miss that? So whatever answers we're going to give, the answers I know are not as good as the question. So I don't know what to do with this Gemara. I'm still searching. Amar Yudah Marav. Rav Yudah says in the name of Rav, Yodea haya betzalel letzaref otiyot shenivu ben shamayim va'aretz. Two lines before the lines get white. Okay, so we have to explain. This is a Kabbalistic concept, so don't expect me to understand it or explain it too well, but the concept goes as follows. We say that before God created the world, He created the Torah. We're on Pei Hei Amud Aleph. Two lines before the lines get white. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. God created the Torah before He created the world. And then the way God created the world was with a Kabbalistic concept called Tziruf Otiyot. The different combinations of the letters of the Torah have different capacities to affect the world in different ways. And we have a medrash called Sefer Yetzirah, which if you know what you're reading and you know how to understand it and apply it, you could use it to create things. So the Talmud says, the rabbis had a tradition on it. This book, we have a tradition, goes all the way back to Adam Rishon. I have a copy at home with Rav Sadia Gaon's commentary. But it's a very difficult medrash. And the Talmud says, that the rabbis of the Talmud, they knew how to use this work. And so one time Rava created a human being. He wanted a servant, he created a servant. So he used the book. And he made himself a golem. And then he saw that this being that he created couldn't talk. So he said, you're no good. And he had him drop dead. The Talmud says, there was one time the rabbi sat together, it was Friday afternoon, they needed food, they used the book, they made themselves a little calf, they slaughtered it and they ate it. So when we read about cloning, we don't get too excited. Now, the Talmud tells us there are ways of making things. There are ways of creating things. We don't understand how that works, but what we're taught, they knew what they were talking about. Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Yodeh ya betzalel etzaref otiyot shenivru ben shamayim v'aretz. Betzalel knew how to combine the letters in the secret way in which God combined them to create the heavens and the earth. K'tivacha, in the description of Bezalel, it says, V'ymale oto ruach Elokim. God filled him with the Spirit of God. B'chochma v'tumna v'dat, with wisdom and understanding and knowledge. V'chtivatam, and it says, with regards to creation, Hashem b'chochma yasad aretz konen shamayim b'tumna. God laid the foundations of earth with wisdom, which is understood to mean the wisdom of knowing how to combine the different letters of the Torah. God established the heavens with understanding, and that's that understanding too. And the pasuk continues and says, "Bedato teumot nivkau," with God's knowledge, the depths were broken forth. So here too, we understand that to mean bedato, that chokhmah, bina, and dat. Rashi writes in Mishlei, all over Mishlei, there are references to Torah. So the idea is, using the Torah, God created the world. How did God create the world using the Torah? So again, this is this Kabbalistic concept, that if you only know how to combine the letters in this secret way, then you can actually create things. Okay, we have until 35, right? So let's do two more lines. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, again Rabbi Yochanan teaches us something, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu noten chokhmah lelemi sheyesh bo chokhmah. God gives wisdom to those that already have wisdom. Shneimar, as the verse says, Yav chokhmeta lechakimin umanda liyodei bina. God gives wisdom to the wise. Meaning the simple reading of the pasuk is that Daniel was saying, it's not my own wisdom, God gave me whatever understanding I have. So the simple reading of the pasuk is, God gave the wisdom that the wise had. But Chazal understood it, they interpreted it on another level of interpretation, that it means God gives wisdom if you already have some wisdom. Shamar av tachliva bar ma'arava, azal amra kamed rabbi avu. So Rav Tachlifa Bar Ma'arava heard this from Rabbi Yochanan, and he went and said it in front of Rabbi Avu. Amale atun mehata matnitula. You quoted from there. Anan mehacha matninana. But we have a proof from here, from the story of Bezalel. The pasuk says, "Uvlev kovul chacham lev natati chokma." I gave wisdom to those who have a wise heart. So you see, when a person has a little bit of wisdom, so Hashem gives him more. But you got to have something to start with. We have this concept in many places in Chazal, that if you have a business, then you could have blessing. You don't have anything, it's a little hard to make you rich. You got to have something to start with. Person has a little bit of wisdom, God gives him more wisdom. Person always has to have something to start with and move forward from there, something for the blessing to settle upon. Okay, so today we did a lot of Kabbalah. What did we see today? We began with Rav Yochanan's quote that three things come directly from God: famine, satiation, and a good leader. From there we went on to the good leader of Bezalel, that God appointed him directly, and nonetheless, out of God's humility, God taught us how to be humble, and God said, when you're appointing a leader, you ask the people if they approve of the leader. Even if God himself approved, you ask the people if they like him, like Hashem did with Bezalel. Then we said Bezalel was so wise that his name really was an indication of his wisdom. Bezalel, he was like in the shadow of God, that when Moshe quoted things to him, he was able to say, didn't God say it a little different? And he got it exactly right. And we finished with the fact that Bezalel was able to create things with the combination of letters. And Rabbi Yochanan taught us that God gives wisdom to those who already have some. You can't start from scratch. You got to have something, and then God gives more. Obviously, the first something is given by God too, right? That's understood, right?